the next chapter for Libya, turning a rebellion into a government.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Steve Chiatakis. Colonel Muammar Gaddafi appeared on television in Libya today and ordered his followers to fight, but a victory for the rebels seems imminent. In fact, today the UN says it's drafting a resolution to unfreeze Libyan assets and relax sanctions to help the fledgling government. Joe Ford joins us now. He's a senior analyst with Oxford Analytica. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
So, Joe, it seems as if a rebel victory is fairly close at hand. What are some of the first steps a new government would have to take?
I think the first point to remember is the limited utility of making comparisons from other places, whether they be Iraq, Afghanistan, or other countries that have been through transition. But it is possible to draw some broader lessons from these sorts of things. They generally relate to issues around security sector reform and integrating opposing forces into a national police and army, transitional justice issues and how one deals with those, the economy and providing some sort of momentum in bread and butter terms to people.
As you mentioned, we've seen a lot of countries go through the Arab Spring, obviously all very different countries, but are there any models among those that might work for Libya or parts of those situations that are parallel to Libya's situation?
Well, there's been a lot of talk comparing the Libya situation with Iraq. One of the things that's very different about the Libya and Iraq situation is that the Transitional Provisional Authority in Iraq was a U.S. administration, whereas the Transitional National Council is composed of Libyans themselves. So legitimacy and effectiveness are interlinked issues when it comes to these sorts of transitions.
Well, one of the tasks of a new government obviously would be building up a strong functioning economy. That requires things like, you know, a strong banking system, tax collection, things like that. How ready is a country like Libya to sustain those elements?
Libya's transition is taking place at a time when Europe, which is just across the Mediterranean, is not necessarily in a very good place to help out. So the level of despair that might usually accompany a sort of post-conflict transition is more really about the macro global environment than Libya's own potential, which is still relatively good.
Joe Ford is a senior analyst at Oxford Analytica. Joe, thank you.
Thank you very much, Stacey.
It is a mixed morning for the markets. Asian markets fell this morning after Moody's downgraded Japan's credit rating, citing massive debt and high political turnover. Japan may have a new prime minister next week. The Nikkei index fell more than 1%. Europe is looking up, though. Germany's DAX is up 2%, and U.S. markets had a really good Tuesday as the markets looked to a key speech from Federal Reserve Chief Ben Bernanke on Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose almost 3% to close at 11,176. Some good news this morning from the Commerce Department. Durable goods orders rose 4% in July. Those are orders for big ticket items like computers and cars. Most of that spending was on aircraft and defense orders. Businesses, on the other hand, are spending less on equipment.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
The Environmental Protection Agency is getting tough on coal power plants. A new rule requires a drop in sulfur dioxide emissions of more than 70% by 2014. Dan Bobkoff of Midwest Reporting Project Changing Gears has that story.
Remember acid rain? We don't hear as much about it anymore because regulations force coal power plants to clean up their smokestacks. The weapon? So-called scrubbers that stop stuff like sulfur dioxide from seeping into the air. A few years ago, the industry largely switched to a new stainless steel design.
This was supposed to be the best alloy available at that point in time, the most cost-effective alloy available at that point in time.
Bill Sigmund is the Senior Vice President at American Electric Power. To meet EPA requirements, the Ohio company has been installing scrubbers at many of its coal plants, costing as much as $700 million each. They're supposed to last 25 years. But very quickly, Sigmund and his team started noticing some serious corrosion.
It's almost like a laser torch or something that's eating the metal itself.
So the industry called on its scientists at the Electric Power Research Institute to investigate. John Schingeldecker is the senior project manager.
For utilities that have built in the last 10 years, that's a very big deal. It's costing a lot more in the short term than they anticipated.
American Electric Power alone has already spent $30 million putting on protective coatings to treat the corrosion. Mehrooz Zamazadeh says the industry should have done its homework. He's general manager of Matco Services, a corrosion analysis firm.
Stainless steels are in general corrosion resistant. However, like everything else in life, they have their limits.
All this comes as those new EPA rules force utilities to make decisions, invest in coal scrubbers, shut the plants down, or replace them with something else, like natural gas. Sandy Buchanan is with the advocacy group Ohio Citizen Action.
The question of whether they're going to install the scrubbers, the question of whether they're going to fix the scrubbers, I mean, every penny of that is going to get passed along to consumers in one form or another.
Oh, and by the way, the cost of a new natural gas plant? About the same as one new scrubber. In Cleveland, I'm Dan Bobkoff for Marketplace.
And finally, Mongolia's Olympic athletes have themselves a sponsor, one of the world's biggest mining companies, Rio Tinto. It's helping pay to send Mongolia's 30 athletes to the London Games. Could be enlightened self-interest. Mongolia is very mineral rich and is a huge battleground for mining companies. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Oil extraction's a tough gig, so oil companies are shelling out big money for qualified people. Petroleum engineering degree, anyone?
Coming out as a female PhD from America, I can probably get at least six figures when I start, which seems ridiculous because I've had no actual work experience.
I'm Bob Moon, new oil technology at a high price. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.